Welcome to this special bonus episode of New York Public Health Now. This is where we talk about the why so you can decide what to do. Hello, I am Dr. Jim McDonald, Commissioner of the New York State Department of Health, coming to you from the 14th floor of Corning Tower, overlooking a cloudy Empire State Plaza here in beautiful downtown Albany. Joanne, my co-host, Joanne Moore, and the Executive Deputy Commissioner. Joanne, our streak of recording podcasts on only sunny days has come to a close because today is unequivocally cloudy.
We can't deny that.
No, we can't. And what's ironic about this is we're going to be talking about the total eclipse. And we really are hoping April 8th is not a cloudy day. So I'm kind of hoping we get the cloud covered out of the way today. So not dealing with this day. So we have two guests today. Very excited to talk to two of our own experts who are immersed in preparations for the solar eclipse coming on April 8th. When a swath of the country, including New York State, will be immersed in darkness for a few minutes here. So we have our own Patrick Choi, Associate Commissioner of the Department's Western Regional Office. And we also have Jason Goff, meteorologist and part of Governor Hochul's communications team for the eclipse. So thank you, Jason, and thank you, Patrick, for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Commissioner McDonald. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Dr. McDonald, great to be here, sir. Thank you for your invitation indeed.
So Jason is an Albany native who received his degree in meteorology from the University of Maryland. He then worked at TV stations around the country before moving back to the Capital District in 2004 as an on-air personality at the local NBC affiliate WNYT Channel 13. In June of 2021, Jason joined the governor's office as a deputy communications director, where he served until February of this year. Now he serves as the special assistant for community relations for the state liquor authority, but is continuing to help with Governor Hochul's crucial eclipse-related communications.
And Patrick Choi is our associate commissioner and director for the Western Region at the New York State Department of Health. He has a degree in biochemistry from the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, locally known here as RPI. His public health experience is in program administration, environmental health, and harm reduction programs. He led the first syringe exchange program in the Capital District. And Patrick's also an astronomy enthusiast and has traveled to see several previous eclipses. It's amazing the things I learned about the people who work for us here. Patrick, we just did this introduction, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thanks, Commissioner. In addition to the public health work that you mentioned, I've long been an amateur astronomy enthusiast. I listen to a number of podcasts, read books, go and visit observatories, including the observatory at RPI, which I spent many hours in. I've been anticipating this particular eclipse since I moved to the Rochester area in 2012, so almost 12 years now. I had a good experience with the 2017 eclipse down in Tennessee, but it also included some long traffic jams and cell phone service going down, and it really put it on my radar that I wanted to be sure we were really well prepared for this eclipse. I'm really excited for it. My past experiences with eclipse have been awe-inspiring, and I'm just so much looking forward to it.
So, Patrick, let's put that history and experience to test a little bit. There have been eclipses before, so why is this one so significant to New York? And when was the last time New York had a total solar eclipse?
So the last time a solar eclipse was viewable in New York was May 10th of 94. That eclipse was a partial eclipse. The last time New Yorkers had an opportunity to view a total solar eclipse was on January 24th, 1925, almost a century ago. And they won't be able to see another one here until May 1st, 2079. Pretty rare event at any one spot, which is why enthusiasts travel thousands of miles to see one.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, that is really quite phenomenal how rare that is here. Jason, you know, I have to admit, I'm not an eclipse expert. So what's the difference between a partial eclipse and a total eclipse? And I've heard the term path of totality. Could you wrap all that up into a nice little package for us?
Yeah, I sure can, sir. So everyone will see at least a partial solar eclipse. Now, in the path of totality is sort of the best of all of that, and I'll explain what that means here in just a second. So, for example, in Albany, we will have roughly 98% coverage, so that's still a partial eclipse, whereas the path of totality, it's about 100 miles wide, and that's going to make its way up through southwestern New York State, across Buffalo, Rochester, starting in Jamestown, and then making its way all the way up through Watertown, eventually over to Plattsburgh, and then out to sea from there once it gets beyond Maine. So in that path, that's 100 miles wide, essentially what we'll have is what we call the center line. That's where the longest duration of the totality of the eclipse will be. And that is just south of Buffalo and just south of Watertown, too, just north of Rochester and just north of Plattsburgh. So that will be sort of the sweet spot within that path of totality. It's just going to be such a spectacle. And we'll talk a little bit more about the 2017 eclipse coming up here in a few minutes. But in essence, as I said, with Albany at about 98%, the farther away from that path of totality that you go, the less the coverage is, but the least amount of coverage in the entire state will be in New York City and across Long Island. It'll be anywhere from 88 to 90%. So everybody in the state will have at least a partial eclipse. And then within that path that we were just talking about, that'll be the total eclipse with, again, the center line being the best of the best.
That's really interesting. So for those who will be in the path of totality, what are some of the things they can expect? Like, I hear people wonder, you know, will there be a chill in the air? Will it really look like nighttime? Will people be able to see stars? And how long does the totality actually last?
I'll answer your last question first. And again, in that center line, which is right in the middle of the path, that's when the totality, or where the totality, will be the longest. So just to kind of give you an example, this is right off of the I Love New York website. Buffalo's duration of totality will be just under 4 minutes. Whereas if you're heading kind of to the edge of that path of totality, say Syracuse, for example, it'll be about a minute and a half. So it really kind of depends on where you are within that. But still, it is a spectacle, be it a minute or 4 minutes or however long it's going to be. You also had asked about a chill in the air. The temperature will drop, again, depending on the cloud cover. If we have a nice clear blue sky, which we're all hoping for, the temperature will drop a bit. Now, granted that it is in early April in upstate New York, it may not be as noticeable as it would be, say, in August. But I would say, you know, the temperature will drop a good 5 degrees or so. And you'll notice that pretty quickly because, you know, the way that the sun works is it heats the ground, which then immediately heats the air above it. So if you cut that source off, you're going to notice it because, well, we sit on the ground. You had also asked about, will it look like nighttime? It won't look like 2 in the morning, but it'll look more like dawn or dusk. So you'll be able to see stars. You'll be able to see sort of that little bluish, purplish glow on the horizon. But the sky will be dark, and everybody and everything will take notice. You know, bees will quit buzzing. Birds may fly into the trees and say, what in the wide world of sports is going on here? But, you know, they're going to react to it. And then as soon as we get out of that totality where the sun goes back into what we would call the partial eclipse, then things will start to hum back to life again, because again, this is going to be anywhere from 3:15 to about 3:30 across the state. So it's really a fascinating, fascinating thing to see. I can't stress that enough.
So that's interesting. Patrick, I want to ask you a little question about this eclipse. It's going to start in the southwest corner in Jamestown. So for folks who are outside the path of totality, like me, I'm going to be in Albany. I'm here at Corning Tower for the eclipse. Am I going to see anything, or is it going to be a regular day for me?
That's a great question, since the majority of New Yorkers don't live in the path of totality. And I mean, the path of totality is really where the wow factor of an eclipse is, as Jason just so wonderfully laid out. And it's why folks travel so far to get there. The effects really diminish quickly as you go outside of that path. So in Albany, for example, you'll have just under 97% coverage, which sounds like a lot, but the sun's really, really bright. It will definitely get noticeably dimmer there during the eclipse, but you won't get that dusky effect that those in the path of totality get. And below 80% or so, you're not really going to notice anything at all unless you're looking at the sun through eclipse glasses or other appropriate eyewear. In general, the further south and east you are in New York, the less of an impact it's going to have. But folks who have eyewear or other viewing devices should be able to see the moon's shadow over the sun anywhere in New York. One of the interesting things that you'll see, probably be able to see what are called crescent shadows, where you can see the crescent of the sun as it passes through narrow paths, like through leaves. One of the fun things I like to do is if you hold up a colander that has holes up during the moon's transit over the sun, instead of getting dots like you normally would, you see little crescents in the shadow. It's a really neat experience, and you can be able to see that anywhere in New York.
You know, Patrick, that's great, and I think you remind me that it's really important to wear eclipse glasses, not sunglasses, but eclipse glasses. And it's really important not to stare at the sun, even for a few seconds in that regard. It just, you know, we're trying to prevent people getting solar retinopathy, damage to the back of your eye that really, I don't have a treatment for. The best treatment for solar retinopathy is prevention. So I think that's really important for people to wear eclipse glasses. We have them free at places. Where are people going to find eclipse glasses?
So I know New York State has placed a number of them at rest stops along the thruway. But if you want to order them online, your window is rapidly closing. I would recommend the American Astronomical Society's website, AAS.org. They have a list of vendors for eclipse glasses where you can get ones that we know are appropriate for that.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's really important. I think people keep track of children during this too, because kids don't know better. So it's really important, kids. And anyone else who's got cognitive issues who doesn't understand, you shouldn't be looking directly at the sun during an eclipse. Really important to do that as well. You know, and I just think it's really important we understand that it's a beautiful thing to look at an eclipse. There's a lot of beautiful things, but don't damage your vision looking at one beautiful thing, then not be able to see the rest of life's beautiful things.
That's right. So this sounds exciting. Jason, what kind of activities are being planned across the state? And what about preparations to ensure that New Yorkers and the visitors that are coming will have a safe, memorable experience?
Oh, that's a long list. We have all kinds of things going on, and we have all kinds of preparations that have been in place as well. So I would encourage everyone to go to, if you've not been yet, go to the I Love New York website. It's just fabulous. It's all laid out. There are, at last count, around 170 different activities going on around the state, both inside and outside the Path of Totality. It lays it all out really well by region. It's just a beautifully done site, so you have to check that out. And then as far as the safe and memorable experience, you know, Governor Hochul has been all over this. She convened a task force a year and a half ago, comprised of nearly two dozen state agencies, you know, just to make sure safety first and then enjoyment second. So we have engaged, with the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, of course, the Department of Transportation, those are biggies, and New York State Police and so on, just to make sure that everything is in place. We have all kinds of lists that I won't get into here on all the different things that are being done to ensure that people just have a great time, but more importantly, that they stay safe. And I think the thing that people need to understand the most is, as we've said before, and Commissioner Bray from the Division of Homeland Security has said, pack your patience, because there is a lot of messaging going out there to let folks know, like, hey, we want you to come to New York. We want you to stay in New York. That's where Empire State Development and I Love New York come in. We've been working really hard to not only have folks stay to alleviate traffic issues, but also to enjoy our beautiful state. So there's lots of different things for people to be able to do to stay and just to enjoy a state park, or just, you know, wander around a city that you've never really been to and check out Niagara Falls and all of that. So there are just so many different things going on at once. And again, the folks that have been running this task force and have been meeting for the last year and a half, and of course the governor, everybody's dialed into this to make sure that this is as safe and as memorable an experience that we'll have. And so we're really looking forward to it.
This is great. We're talking about all things eclipse on today's bonus episode of New York Public Health Now. We're talking to Patrick Toy, Associate Commissioner of the Western Regional Office of the Department of Health, and Jason Goff, meteorologist who's part of the governor's communications team. Patrick, let's talk about what kind of activities we could see happening here. What kind of impact we think could happen here? You know, we expect a large influx of people. They're going to come to this region to experience totality, which we're thrilled that people are coming. New York's a great place to visit, a great place to stay and look at things. Can you talk about what are some of the other aspects of public health, like making sure hospitals and emergency medical service agencies are fully staffed and the road remains clear for other first responders like police and fire? What have we done to prepare for that?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. So the estimates we've been working on are guessing between 300,000 and 1 million people are going to come to New York to visit this eclipse. So we're going to have a tremendous number of people moving about. Obviously the main concerns are transportation and communication. There have been a number of local, county, state government agencies, as well as healthcare providers, EMS agencies, that have been preparing for this eclipse for quite a long time. You know, they want to ensure they have the right staffing, supplies, and equipment, response posture for the event. Most schools and colleges in the Path of Totality have canceled classes that day in recognition of that, especially given the timing of the eclipse, shortly after classes would be letting out. the state is going to be operating regional operation centers across the state where all of the state agencies, including the Department of Health, are going to monitor situations with our areas of responsibility and be able to coordinate a multi-agency response to whatever issue or emergency that might arise. The department is going to be staging EMS resources across the state to help deal with the expected increased demand with so many new people coming to New York and traveling. I think we're in a really good position to be prepared for this event. But I also think, you know, it's important for individuals to consider what they can do to help themselves and everyone else have a safe viewing event. And really, that's being prepared, making sure you have appropriate eyewear, as you mentioned, and making sure that during and immediately after the eclipse, if possible, you're avoiding traveling on the roads when we're expecting to have really heavy congestion.
So you talk about how many individuals we might anticipate, and that large number makes me immediately think of traffic. So, Jason, what are some of the things that people who are driving in should consider, you know, related to things like travel time, communication? You mentioned that Commissioner Bray had mentioned pack your patience, right? Mm-hmm. There are not many roads in and out of the Adirondacks, so are there traffic concerns for the North Country?
Yes, ma'am. There are traffic concerns all throughout the path of totality, but to your point, in the North Country, there may not be as many roads in and as many roads out. So a lot of the messaging really kind of folds onto itself that we've been putting out as an entire state entity with the I Love New York folks, you know, come early and leave late, you know, come for the eclipse, stay for New York is really the messaging that we're putting out there. But specifically with respect to the traffic and all of the different logistical challenges that poses, the New York State Department of Transportation has been operationalized now for a long time, and just in the very end of March started to put out messaging on signboards, because there still are folks out there that aren't quite sure about this whole eclipse thing. And I've heard about it. Maybe it's coming to New York. I'm not really sure. So we're trying any and all avenues to make sure that folks understand that, you know, it's not a good idea to come for the eclipse. And then once the path of totality has kind of moved beyond your location, then you go, all right, well, let's go home. Well, that doesn't work. You know, part of what the task force has been doing quite extensively is looking at what are called after action reports from the 2017, the Great American Eclipse that bisected the country from the Northwest all the way down to Charleston. And so states have put out reports saying what worked and what didn't. And obviously traffic is a big deal. There's a picture that just is burned in my mind from Wyoming, where there was a line of traffic on a two-lane road. Folks were stuck in traffic for 15 hours. This was an 80-mile backup. That is not what we want in New York State. So that's what we say. Pack your patience. Make sure that you have things with you, supplies, you know, snacks, water, medications, blankets, but most importantly, perhaps your patience.
Makes sense. And, you know, you talked about the eclipse in 2017. So we remember that you live streamed a Great American Eclipse. That was in South Carolina. What were your reactions? You talked about, you know, the traffic and a 15-hour delay. Any other reactions from that event?
Oh, gee. Well, I have to tell you, because again, there's a lot of seriousness involved with this, but let's also not forget that this is a once-in-a-lifetime spectacle for folks to have an opportunity to see. So when I went down, and I've said this on calls, people are tired of hearing me say it, but I can't stress it enough. It's one of the few things in life that is so hyped, and the event actually exceeded the hype. I just remember, quickly will tell you a story. My cousin and I took his boat. We nosed up to an island right along the intercoastal waterway, and a line of thunderstorms had developed but moved inland enough, thankfully, along what we call a sea breeze boundary. You know, we're right in the path of totality. When totality actually happened, it was dark, and I was calling this out on my live stream, and you could see the lightning reflecting off the right side of my face. I thought I was going to pass out. It was like sensory overload, and it was just truly one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. So I am so hoping for clear skies with this one. I can tell
it was looking at you. I know you can't see on a podcast how excited you are, but it's like,
I'm a science geek. I don't know what to tell you, Dr. McDonald. It just is what it is.
Everything is historical, but not everything is memorable. And you've described it a very memorable experience. So that was awesome. That's great. We have an I Love New York Eclipse playlist. So I'm just going to ask everybody what their favorite song on the playlist is. I'll go first with Here Comes the Sun. Jason, favorite song on the playlist?
I had trouble picking between three of them, but I'm going to go with Ring of Fire from Johnny Cash.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Patrick, how about you, Patrick? Favorite song on the playlist?
Mine's going to be Space Oddity by David Bowie.
There you go. Joanne?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. You know, that was my number two. Wow, well, there you go. That's great. Good.
We all have to know. Where are both of you, Patrick and Jason, where are you watching or viewing the eclipse?
I'm not really sure yet, to be honest with you. We're still working through some logistics within the executive chamber. So I'm going to be somewhere to watch it. It'll either be in Western New York or somewhere up in the North Country. But I will be somewhere in that path of totality.
It will be in the North Country, too. It's not just in Western New York. It's going to be in the northernmost part. Plattsburgh, right?
Plattsburgh is where it will exit the state. But it's going to go across, you know, places like Old Forge, Tupper Lake, Lake Placid. So it's, you know, you can see, again, when you go to the I Love New York site, there's a few different maps where you can see the path of exactly where these spots are going to be.
New York is full of so many beautiful places. Lake Placid is one of them. Thinking of total eclipse in Lake Placid, that sounds like a pretty awesome experience.
Yes, indeed.
And Patrick?
So I'm probably going to be staying relatively local to where I am. I'm fortunate to live in the path of totality. Most likely I'll see it from outside our Rochester office, which is actually in Henrietta, south of Rochester. But if the weather isn't cooperating, I may be scouring satellite maps looking for a patch of blue sky to come see it in.
So, Patrick, where can people go to learn more about the eclipse?
Well, Jason mentioned the I Love New York website, which is an excellent resource for New York-based eclipse resources. I would also, again, plug the American Astronomical Society webpage, which can be found at eclipse.aas.org.
Thank you both, Patrick and Jason, for your time. Very informative conversation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
If you have an idea for topics we should talk about on New York Public Health Now podcast, let us know by email, publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov. As always, keep an eye out for our latest New York Public Health Now episode on your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. Search by our podcast title, New York Public Health Now, or keyword NYSDOH. Then tap the subscribe or follow button to be notified when we release a new episode about every other week. For New York Public Health Now podcast, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald.
I'm Joanne Morin.
I'm Patrick Toy.
And I'm Jason Goff.
And thank you for listening.
New York Public Health Now is a production of New York State Department of Health's Public Affairs Group. Michael Wren is the executive producer and engineer, with additional production support provided by Sarah Snyder, Janine Babakian, Barbara Stubblebine, Alicia Biggs, Monica Pomeroy, and Kyle Kateri. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We welcome your feedback. Please email us at publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov.